Yeah, buddy, that's my man, Wordplay Official, right there on the introduction here on this Tuesday, October 10th. Welcome in to the Lowdown. I am Damian Barling, along with the icon, the showstopper, Jason Ross. We thank you so much for being here with us. Plenty to talk about today. Jason and I will have one small thought on every single team in the National Football Conference. We have a trade in the NFC, as a matter of fact. Some of the teams we're going to cover. Adrian Peterson has been traded from the New Orleans Saints, not to one of the teams I suggested, which was the Minnesota Vikings or the Green Bay Packers, but another team who needed him just as bad, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. I can't confirm this. I did have some good friends on Twitter working on this for me. I don't believe Adrian Peterson got any younger with this trade. I was told because that they don't observe daylight saving times that he'll gain an hour. But to the best of my knowledge, he's still 32, and we haven't seen a really productive Adrian Peterson in a while.
Going to see if it's system or, honestly, when he has carried the ball. The little bit I've seen, I mean, we're talking about a small handful of here. I think he can still play. I really do. I'm going to hang on to that until proven wrong, which it's closer to being proven wrong so far. So I feel like it's system in New Orleans. We'll find out because he's going to get carries with the Cardinals.
And we've that'll be put to the test, right? Because we've seen David Johnson rush for 200 yards. And I think a lot of us attribute that more to David Johnson than the Bruce Arians Arizona Cardinals system. But if Adrian Peterson does have any life left, this is it. This is where we'll see it. This is where we'll see it in Arizona. I would love when he sits down with Trey Wingo, or he sits down with Mike Tirico, or whoever he sits down with, dude, why did you pick the Saints? Like, I'm just so curious. When we announced that, and he was a late signing. It's not like he signed on the first day or the second day. He was out there for a while. It was so baffling. Yeah, I just didn't get it.
I didn't either. And he has to hope it can be something along the lines of, remember, DeMarco Murray went from the Cowboys, was great.
Yep.
Philly with Chip Kelly, you're like, wow, interesting, aggressive move in division. Yep. Didn't work. It just didn't. But then he found it again in Tennessee. So hopefully for his sake and for the Cardinals, it could be something like that. But that's the super optimistic approach. He's also a guy that, you know, hasn't played in a while, and when he has played, has not been good for the Saints. So we'll see.
Thus, the system that you were just referring to. Look, I'm very happy that the Raiders signed Marshawn Lynch for so many reasons. But to me, it just made so much sense for Adrian Peterson to be in Oakland with that line. Like, this works significantly better for him than New Orleans did. But when it comes down to it, and you have your essentially your pick of the litter here, I really would have liked to see him in Oakland. I thought it would be funny that the combined age of the backfield of the Arizona Cardinals was 64 years old if you count Chris Johnson, but they have let Chris Johnson go. It's going to be Adrian Peterson is going to be the running back for that team. Obviously, Kerwin Williams is still there. David Johnson perhaps will be back. Maybe around Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, if they decide to bring him back at all. But that's kind of the lay of the land, as that trade was completed just a little bit over 1 hour ago. Again, Jason and I will talk more about that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour when we dive into each and every single team in the NFC. We'll get to baseball here in just a little bit. Mitch better have my money. Not a bad game one. Not a bad game one for Mitchell Trubisky, a really bad game for Sam Bradford. I felt like I was watching Sam Bradford's career end yesterday. Like, that's how bad it was. I know you were dealing with King's business, and we're going to get to that in 2 seconds. Gruden kept talking about his body language and his facial expressions, and when he pointed that out, I started watching him a little bit closer, and I thought, gosh, either he's still really, really injured. Like, really injured, or he just can't do this anymore. And I know he had a great game a couple of weeks ago. I know he had a great game to start the season. But Bradford's downfall through his career has been his injuries. And I just wonder how much injuries play a role on the psyche of an individual. And Sam Bradford just looked defeated last night, but Case Keenum caved in and saved the day once again. We'll talk about that at the bottom of this hour, 12:30. But your Sacramento Kings played last night in just a snooze fest of a basketball game. It's worth noting, Kings dropped their third straight, okay? half the roster was on the bench. Most of the players, if you went to the Golden 1 Center last night, most of the players you wanted to see didn't play. Probably.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but probably. And just, I don't know. You know, we talked about three games this week, Jason, as we got another back-to-back coming up on Thursday and Friday. And we talked about how this is a valuable week for the coaching staff. I don't know what the coaching staff could have. I don't know what they got out of last night.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
I thought it was interesting. Before the game, Coach Yeager basically said to the media, yeah, I kind of feel like I do know where I'm going with everything. And I thought, wow. I mean, he doesn't have to tell us, shouldn't, you know, or doesn't owe it to us. But I thought that was interesting to say that. So maybe he feels comfortable with what his starters will be and his early rotations will be. And then the other part of just the actual game, it for me, Damien, at this point, last night is super difficult to evaluate because Portland – playoff team for 4 years in a row, played all their guys, or their main guys. And the Kings were in the game, I guess. I mean, I never felt like they were going to win, but they were in it. So mm-hmm. I guess I'll take that as a slight positive. But in the end, I mean, they're not playing Jakar Sampson. You know, they're not going to be playing Papianis huge minutes. They're not. So it was an opportunity for Justin Jackson and Frank Mason and Scal and a few guys, but it's so hard to the last two nights that they played, Sunday and Monday, they couldn't score. Well, a lot of guys weren't playing, and so right. It's really hard to give a full evaluation of what the team could be, but that's the reality of the preseason. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you win. It's how kind of individuals look. But I think individuals, even if it's Justin Jackson, Frank Mason, Scal, but then Zach Randolph and Temple are on the floor, well, that's probably going to look different. But those two veterans weren't there. Or you mix in George Hill and Vince Carter with three young guys. That's going to look different. It just that's not what they had last night.
Text here on the text line, and we appreciate all these texts coming in nice and early here. You can get us at 44-1140. Also, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We are once again guest-free today, so feel free to call anytime through these 3 hours. If you're on your lunch break right now, you're worried about missing any part of the show, download the all-new radio.com app, search KHDK. You can listen to all 3 hours of the Lowdown right there on your phone. You can also subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform and have it delivered right to you with its creative show titles and all at the end, at the conclusion of each show. Text line here, went to the game last night, courtesy 1140. Thanks, fellas. You're more than welcome. Glad you were able to go. But I'll tell you what, we couldn't buy a bucket last night or the game before that against the Lakers or the game before that against the Spurs. Got to put the ball in the hoop. Hey, that's a hot take right there, Brian. Yeah. You can't win games if you can't put the ball in the hoop, right?
Yeah, well, and that's even, you know, so they have had trouble scoring for three straight games. And, again, I'm going to go back to, is this a thing? Is this going to be an issue? Or is it part of the circumstance of playing so many different guys? And, you know, we know there's all these new players, but the reality is it's a reason for just take an experienced team that is doing second, third, fourth level stuff in training camp compared to, hey, this is our routine, this is this guy, and this is what offense we're going to run. I mean, the Kings are going through some basic elementary stuff right now that other teams are far ahead of them just because they've continuity.
Yeah.
And just that's not the spot the Kings are in. Yeager, I think, said yesterday, Damian, ideally, with the current group he has, he would want 6 weeks of training camp and about 12 preseason games. Well, okay. They don't have it.
Yeah. So, sorry, coach.
Right. And he knows it. He's like, that's ideal. That's what I'd like. But we don't, so we got to do with what we got.
Well, I vote that we amend the rules then.
Yeah.
Right now.
Stretch it out.
Let
more
let
time.
Coach, let Coach get his young team going here. I don't want to – I've always had kind of a feeling on preseason, and we've talked about it before, where I do believe coaches get a lot more from practice than they do these preseason games. And if Coach Yeager – like, we'll talk later. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they've set and announced their starting lineup. And there are some changes to their starting lineup because of the additions that they've made. But here we are, you know, with a week before the regular season kicks off, and Ty Lue felt the need to come out and say, yeah, this is what we're doing. So for Coach Yeager to say, I'm set. I have a good idea of where we're going. It just leads me to believe he's seeing
– from practice, huh?
He's seeing what he wants.
Yeah.
At least I assume, because if he's – my feeling is he's seeing what he wants in practice, which makes – maybe he had a direction he was going to go all along. And practice has confirmed that for him. And I don't know that for sure, and I'm sure he'll appear on this radio station at some point over the next week, and Grant and Doug can ask him that. But I feel like if he wasn't getting what he wanted from practice, he would be using these games to evaluate what he wanted to do with the starting lineup. But for him, a week out to seemingly be pretty confident in the direction that he's going leads me to believe he's getting exactly what he wants from practice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's got to be clarity somewhere because it's not being shown out on the court, at least to us in the preseason games.
Driving for like 6 hours a day for work. I always look forward to you guys coming on. Hey, we appreciate that,
man.
Thank you so much. And drive safe. Oh, we're already getting questions about some topics later on in the show. We'll get to those. We'll get to those as the day moves along here. You were there. I watched.
It's a tough watch.
Is there anything that we should? It was even tougher at home.
Yeah.
because you're there, you're working. It's like what we say to the, it's like when we talked to the G-man before his historic game last season. You can't walk away.
Yeah.
I flipped to Monday Night Football, which, by the way, that wasn't a pleasantry either. That was difficult there for quite a while. There was some intriguing aspects to it. Mitchell Trubisky, of course, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but there was nothing appealing about that game. And when you have the ability to stare at your computer or walk away, there are points where you zone out a little bit. You can't zone out. You're working. Is there anything we need to relay to Kings fans from last night's game?
No, I mean, I guess the biggest takeaway, like I said, is that Portland, I'm not saying they went for it with all their guys, but they played they had it more of a regular season approach where the Kings certainly did not. And to make any kind of grand evaluations on what the Kings were last night is difficult. Again, without any veterans in there, without any, De'Aaron Fox would have been fun to watch too. But the one thing I'll say is, and I've been hanging on this and I'm going to stick with it, Frank Mason needs to play. And I don't know where and how the coach will get him in because George Hill should start. De'Aaron Fox, they love. Mason can play, and I really like him, and it's a good problem to have, but I just don't know where his minutes will fall, but I'd like to see him get some minutes in the rotation because I think he's just tough. He just gets it. He's a good addition to this roster, and so hopefully he'll get some minutes.
It's worth noting, just in case you didn't pay much attention last night, De'Aaron Fox, who had an MRI on his back, seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Precautionary measures for him to sit out last night. He didn't play. Neither did any of the veterans. Vince Carter didn't. George Hill didn't. We know Harry Giles is going to be playing for a while. Costa didn't. Zach Randolph and our guy Garrett Temple. None of those guys played last night.
And then you said Fox, Giles, and then Bogdanovich. So, I mean, it's
right. Yeah, sorry. He didn't play
either.
It was cut
down so much.
Jack Cooley played 4 minutes. A lot of these guys – a lot of the guys that played last night aren't going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
Or if they are, in the rotation. They're going to be in Reno.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the G League.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys, I don't think are going to make the roster.
And I wouldn't be surprised, especially the last preseason game, which is Friday at the Warriors, and the Warriors are coming back from China. That's their next game. I bet they're on cruise control.
Oh, for sure.
Kings veteran. If Jaeger knows his lineup, I bet he doesn't play any of them Friday because you want to be healthy for next Wednesday. So if there's any meaningful minutes left, for kind of what we think a larger sample size of what the Kings might be for the season. It might happen Thursday, but it might not even then. They might just be on kind of cruise mode to be as healthy as possible for next week.
So while the Kings didn't provide a ton of excitement for us, Monday Night Football, not necessarily baseball, most definitely did. And that turned out to be the final score, 2-1, as the Cubs rallied late to beat the Nationals, take a 2-1 lead in the series, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And that one could be coming to a conclusion here real quick. As the show was wrapping up yesterday, the Astros had closed out their series with the Boston Red Sox as well and advanced.
Yeah, that was actually a really entertaining game yesterday. Had a lot of everything, and Boston had an inside-the-park home run in the last inning.
Right, while we were on the air, which made us trying to hold our really, because I'm looking up, like, what did he – is he getting a –
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Now they're within
all
one.
Right.
Can they do it? But no, they fell short. And then the Dodgers advance. They were guarding the pool. Didn't want any Dodgers in the pool there in Arizona. And then the Yankees stayed alive. So baseball's been good.
Yeah, and does that close out tonight?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, the only one today is the Cubs. Nationals. I was thinking about the Nationals.
Okay.
Are they a better version of the Chargers? Like, they're always good, and they lose.
They can't win in the playoffs.
And just painfully, though. Like, every game's close. They don't ever get killed. Like, yesterday, another one-run loss, and it's just they're always right there.
No, I think that's a perfect example if you rewind to Norv Turner Chargers.
Yeah.
They were constantly
always there.
This team's really good.
Yeah, it's their
this
time.
Team's really good. Exactly.
Yeah. And then, nope.
That's a perfectly apt comparison to the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Always there, they just can never get it done.
You had a great outing yesterday from Scherzer. and the bullpen doesn't hold up, 2-1. That's anybody's game, and they're on the wrong end of it again. But Dodgers are waiting for one of them, and baseball will be happy because they got the Dodgers advance.
Yep.
And Cubs, Nationals, either one I think is a good story. Probably Cubs would maybe, if we're thinking market size and storyline, but that should be a good NL championship series.
That's a right now. The winner right now, the National League representative of the World Series is a winner for Major League Baseball.
Yes,
because all three of these teams, it's going to work.
Right. American League, we don't know yet because Houston, though Houston's, it's a big market, there's not the tradition. And then Cleveland's got a story. Yankees, of course, would be.
Cleveland has the story. They also they have the heritage story, mm-hmm. but they also have the revenge story mm-hmm. from last year. And if you asked me right now, will you sign up for Cleveland Chicago Part 2? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I also have no problem with Cleveland LA, Cleveland Washington. I have no problem with New York and any of those three mm-hmm. teams. The Astros, they were consistently, I think, one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball all year. Not as sexy, but it's okay.
Yeah, like, they're good.
I'll watch. I don't think Major League Baseball is rooting for them, which it's just an assumption on my part. But I like the story of Cleveland just because the number of times we've seen it this year is astonishing. If Cleveland comes back and is able to beat Chicago, really able to beat anybody, you add them to the list of what Clemson did, what the Warriors did, what the Minnesota Lynx did. It's incredible.
Revenge tour, yeah.
The North Carolina basketball, mm-hmm. the Tar Heels, what they did. It's virtually every major champion this year, hockey maybe the exception, has been a revenge tour from last year.
Yeah. The one thing I think
– or a comeback tour, whatever you want to call it.
The one thing I think about with the Astros, and they showed it in their playoff game with the Red Sox. I can't remember which game it was, one or two, where it was an SI cover from, I want to say – maybe 2012, 2013, when the Astros were awful, and they're building with all these young guys, and there's an SI cover that said you're 2017 World Series champs, and it's the Astros who are winning, 40 games at the 60 games at the time. They were terrible, but it was kind of projection. Look at what they're doing. This is what they're adding. Look out for them at 2017. And it's like, wow, what if that one comes true?
We gave there was another stat that we gave maybe midway through the year. And I don't know that this held up given what Cleveland was able to do, but there was something about run differential. Mm-hmm. And the two teams that had the best run differentials were always in the World Series together. And at the time, it was Houston and LA. Then Cleveland went on that massive win streak in which they had this huge run differential. So that might have changed that, and it could have become Cleveland and LA. But I love all of the potential World Series matchups. I'll have to emotionally invest a little bit more in Houston. But as I said before, looking at it from a television perspective, like which was what we did yesterday when we talked about J.J. Watt's injury on mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, the executive producer immediately went to work. Go to the crowd. They that quickly managed to find like two or three people in tears because J.J. Watt was hurt. Well, there's an emotional story for the city of Houston that can be told during the World Series.
True.
And that stuff, just as it did on Sunday Night Football, real life often plays into sports very, very well, particularly if that team wins. Now, that was just a regular season game for the Houston Texans, but, the Houston Astros being in the World Series and the awful year that the city of Houston has had and what they've gone through with the hurricane and all that stuff, there's an emotional tie in, like, sports. They love to get at your heartstrings.
Do you think, though, I think it draws you in when you're there, and you're already invested. If you're watching and you're like, I'm going to check out Houston and the Dodgers tonight in World Series Game 1. Oh, and then they lay out all that. That's like, oh, man. Then I think you're in, but I don't know you think that draws listeners that or viewers that aren't there? If you know what I mean?
The casual fan, like the Cubs 100-year.
That had everybody.
That had the casual fan. The Dodgers getting their first title in how long can have the casual fan. The New York Yankees, nothing else attached to it.
Yeah.
New York Yankees, casual yeah. fan.
Because there's people rooting against them. Like, sure, oh, of course, I want them to lose. I hate them.
It's the Dallas. It's the same thing as the Dallas Cowboys. I hate them. I want to see them. Who are they playing? I don't care. I want them to get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's the same way with the Yankees. Could be the same with Alabama at this point.
Oh,
it could
sure.
be the same, you know, with those teams that are so good for so long. You just tune in to hope. You hope that someone's going to beat them. Duke.
Yeah.
You know, Duke basketball. I don't care who they're playing. I just want them to lose.
Yeah. We know it's happening a little bit with the Warriors, I think, now. There's
sure.
Obviously, there's people that love them, but then there's others like, eh.
LeBron.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily a team, but LeBron, whether it's the LeBron, you know, the Heat-led mm-hmm. LeBron or the LeBron-led Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. Anybody but him.
Yeah, anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody. So that's kind of where we're at with Major League Baseball right now. So the only game today are the Nationals of the nation's capital.
Cubbies.
And
that's it.
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, because it was an NL day, but the Dodgers got the sweep. So.
And then it'll wrap up tomorrow with the – because that's game five tomorrow, right?
Yankees no, they'll get it. Yeah, game five tomorrow is Indians – I'm sorry. Yeah, Indians-Yankees.
Uh-huh.
And then if the Cubs-Nationals go game five, that'll be – Thursday.
Okay. Mitchell Trubisky, pretty solid. Got 99 problems, but a Mitch ain't one. I have a whole list of these, by the way. So this is
starting.
This is going on.
Okay, I'm ready
this,
for it.
This is
that
real.
Was good. I'll give you a good one on that one.
Well, actually, that I got to give full credit to Chris Verlade for that one. That was
Chris
a good
did
one.
That?
Chris did that one. Chris did that one when Mitchell Trubisky was drafted.
Okay.
So because I've been working on this for months.
All right.
There were some that were probably just a little. It was just a little too much.
All right.
But.
We're good so far.
So far, yeah.
I like that one.
I think 99, like if I had the beat, right, I would say, every time we talked about the Bears, it'd be 99 problems, but a Mitch 8-1 hit me, and then the beat would drop.
Yeah.
Because that's how we do. That's what we're about on the lowdown. But he had a good start. It wasn't.
They were smart how they let him play.
For a guy that we really don't know a lot about, you know, a guy who played 13 games for, of all places, North Carolina, you're watching him, you know, if It's so difficult. He's in such a tough spot. We know very little about him because of how much he played at North Carolina. And he was the second overall pick. We know Chicago moved up one spot to get him. And now we compare him against two other 1 and 2 draft picks that went really well in Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And that's a tough spot for him to be in. But we'll talk about Monday Night Football and the quarterback carousel that went on last night. We also mentioned the Cavs have set their starting lineup. I think there's some bad things in store for Cleveland. I'll explain. And there was a whole host of preseason games last night, other than your Sacramento Kings, including the Houston Rockets. And J. Ross, I may have to reevaluate my stance on the Rockets.
Okay,
I'll explain. We got VIP weekend passes for Aftershock. We're just getting started. It's the lowdown here on Sports 1140. But a Mitch ain't one. Hit me. Yeah. Seems like a good time to tell you we got VIP weekend passes to Aftershock Festival coming up on October 21st and 22nd at Discovery Park. You want more information on the event, go to khdk.com. You want to grab these VIP weekend passes, hang tight. We'll give them to you this hour right here to open up the show. We'll give them to you right now. It is 12:32. Time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Text line, you want to jump in here, lots of great, 44-1140. We'll address Roger Goodell and the NFL and some of the events that appear to be transpiring regarding the national anthem here coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. J. Ross and I will have our winners and losers of Week 5 of the NFL season. Also, we'll take a look ahead to Week 6, which is going to kick off with a hell of a game on Thursday night. We'll talk about that about 30 minutes. We'll give you one small thought on the entire NFC, the entire National Football Conference. But let's start with a couple of teams in that conference. J. Ross, last night, Mitchell Trubisky made his long-awaited debut, I guess. 176 total yards for both teams in the first half. I'm going to say that one more time. Two teams, one half, 176 total yards. It was really bad. 89 of those were attributed to Mitchell Trubisky. Sam Bradford, before he was eventually yanked for Case Keenum, who really just kind of came in and saved the day. There was a point, by the way, if you weren't watching or you were wrapped up with the Kings or still at work watching baseball, whatever it may be, score was 2-0 for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 3-2 for a very long time. Sam Bradford had five completions 11 passes, 36 yards. And as I mentioned to you a few moments ago, I actually felt bad for him. Like, watching that, he was clearly really, really hurt. He was still very, very injured, or he just can't or doesn't want to do this anymore. But he looked defeated from the start, and that was just really tough for him. And then they had to pull him out. Case Keenum came in, and he started out like 11 of 12 or something. Like, he started out really, really solid, and then was able to lead Minnesota to a win over Chicago.
Yeah, I joked yesterday. I go, well, this game is gonna be like 12-6. And then when it was 3-2, I went too high. Yeah,
you did.
I went too high, but they started to score a little bit.
12-6 would have been exciting.
Yeah. The best part was, well, there are two plays that were fun to me, though. The touchdown by the Vikings and then the duck, duck, goose.
Yeah.
That was a good bit.
Sure.
You like that one?
Yeah, I'll play along.
And
absolutely.
Then the 2-point conversion play the Bears ran. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
I hadn't seen that play before. That was really cool. Just how it was designed, how it was executed. It's like they figured out football.
Yeah.
That was great.
That did not look like a John Fox play.
No, it did. that's a good explanation. Someone else figured that one out.
Yeah. Somebody on that team, on that staff, convinced John Fox to allow that to happen.
Yeah. There was a lot of moving parts, reverse with an option pitched back to the quarterback, but it was well designed and it worked easily. It was really nice. I like that.
Trubisky wound up 12 for 25, 128 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Again, there's nothing spectacular about there. Case Keenum was actually of the three, the best quarterback of the bunch. As I mentioned, he started out 11 to 12 at one point, finished at 17-21 with 140 yards and the one touchdown. By the way, Nate Lundy on Thursday told us, if you're going to go with a running back now that Dalvin Cook is out, go with McKinnon, and that didn't disappoint. Mm-hmm. If you're a fantasy owner, it appears he's going to be the primary back for Minnesota moving forward. As we kind of suspected, Latavius Murray did get some run. He just couldn't get free. And, you said yesterday you're going to have to rely on Latavius Murray to get – and my thought was, man, if you're relying on Latavius Murray to win your ball game, you're probably going to be in pretty big trouble. But the fact is, between McKinnon and Murray, they were able to establish some semblance of a run game, while Case Keenum eventually came in there like right before halftime and was able to get things going, got comfortable there in the second half. And again, it wasn't pretty, but it's a win for Minnesota, who's now 3-2. Chicago goes to 1-4, but they got their guy in there now.
Yeah, that's where, like, last night felt like a win for both teams, in a sense that the Vikings won the game, which is what we care more about, wins and losses. They got through it. Defense did it more so. Keenum was better than Bradford, and then, like we said, McKinnon over Murray offensively for them. But I feel like Chicago, like, last night felt like the start of something for them.
Sure.
You know, Glennon, they went with him. He has been disappointing. They go to Trubisky. I don't know that he was amazing, but hey, you got to go. He went against a good defense. They got him out of the pocket a lot. I thought their play calling was smart. He had some good. You can see where he has something that could be good. And that was day one. Day one of kind of the Trubisky. If there's an era, it feels like that's the start. So, you know, the season will still probably end up being a long year. I don't see a lot of wins for them, but they're going forward now with what they hope to be their plan in the future.
You said it felt like a win for both teams. It may have been, but it wasn't a win for John Fox. Like, John Fox is,
he's not coaching this team next year, right?
I don't think so. Yeah. And that sucks. It sucks for him, but it sucks for Mitchell Trubisky also, because with John Fox goes John Fox's coaching staff, and it's like, okay, this is the difficult part about quarterbacks who get drafted so high. When you, obviously, if you're drafting high, you're going to a bad team. You know, we talk about this in the NBA all the time. And I maintain, as stupid as you may think I am, Alex Smith was a good quarterback coming out of college who went to a crappy organization, who changed coaches and coordinators over and over and over and over again. DeShone Kizer, he's screwed. DeShone Kizer is screwed because Hugh Jackson's going to be fired at the end of the year. And he's a marginal quarterback at best. Whoever comes in to the Chicago Bears situation is coming in knowing Mitchell Trubisky is their guy. And that could be reinvigorating for Mitchell Trubisky, or insert young quarterback's name here. It could be reinvigorating for whoever. But it's also really tough because you have these young guys who are trying to learn the way of the NFL. And no matter what you think about John Fox, or no matter what Mitchell Trubisky thinks of John Fox, or Chicago Bears fans think about John Fox, he's going to learn something from him over the course of the next, you know, 12 weeks or whatever it may be. And then he's going to be gone. And Mitchell Trubisky is going to have to start the process, if you will, all over again.
Right.
And that's the tough spot that these young quarterbacks constantly find themselves in. It's why if the San Francisco 49ers decide to draft a quarterback rather than sign a quarterback, they're probably, whoever that quarterback is that goes to the San Francisco 49ers is probably in better shape, because you know, at least you have to have some semblance of confidence that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Because they're 1 year in. They'll be headed into year number two of a six-year deal. Now, guys get fired during their deals. That's nothing
but
new.
Not likely that
not
early.
Not 5 years, not right. 4 years, probably not even 3 years. If things are still really bad with two or one left, then maybe you have a conversation there. Yeah. But they're not going to be fired with that much time left on their contract.
Yeah, and even the other part about why you would think Fox would be out was just the handling of the quarterbacks. He didn't seem to know draft night that they were doing what they did to move up to get Trubisky, so being out of the loop there is like, wait, how does the head coach not know? I mean, just there were some bizarre handlings of Glennon to Trubisky to, so it's like, yeah, what is his future?
Well, that whole situation was odd because I don't know if they were ever asked or if they ever answered, when was the decision made that you were going with Mitchell Trubisky? Because was your intent really to bring in Mike Glennon, who, again, was a backup quarterback? And I think sometimes we look at backup quarterbacks and go, well, Aaron Rodgers was a backup quarterback, and Steve Young was a backup quarterback. And it's like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers and Steve Young really stand out. Name others. Like, can you?
Right.
Can you name, like, other, like, really standout quarterbacks that were, like, once you got them out of the reins of that backup role, they turned out to be pretty good. It worked out for Romo, but Romo was on that. He didn't change teams. It's not like he signed a big free agent contract because, oh, I like that kid in Dallas, let's bring him along. It was Bill Parcells who said, okay, we're done with this. Come in. Yeah. Same with
I guess Brady, right?
Brady, but it's the same situation.
Same idea, man.
Unfortunately, it was the same starting quarterback in both of those situations. But yeah, it's the same situation, whereas Tom Brady's on the team. It's not like someone went to Belichick and was like, man, he's a sought-after backup quarterback, and that's what Mike Glennon was. And now that I think about it, that's what Aaron Rodgers and Steve Young were. It was all the same team. No one has ever signed away, at least I can't think of a situation where someone has signed away a backup quarterback, and they've gone on to be incredibly successful wherever they were. I guess Alex Smith technically was a backup quarterback when Kansas City signed him, but
maybe like,
does that count?
Rich Gannon, maybe, was that one. But he started some, came off the bench. But
which is what Alex Smith was, right?
Yeah,
Alex Smith started, and then Cap came in, and then he never went back in, and then he went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I
but
can't.
But the point is, if there is a list, it's really small.
Yeah. And
really small.
44-11-40, if you know the name of one, shoot it this way, because I'm working really hard to try to figure out who may be one. But Case Keenum did a good job, and he's done a good job. And I have to imagine he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings when they play in 10 days or so. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Jason talked to Dave Yeager yesterday. Dave Yeager has a good idea of where the Sacramento Kings are going to go with their lineup. Well, Cleveland, they know exactly where they're going with their starting lineup. They've announced it. It's a little bit different than last year, and I think it's going to create some problems. We'll have that next for you here on The Lowdown. It's 12:47, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden 1 Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest. Get details at GoldenOneCenter.com/anniversary. A couple of names coming through here. Some good ones, too, that I didn't even think about. You really got to play with some of these, too, to remember that it's actually worked out this way. Kurt Warner, I think, is the best name that we've gotten.
Yeah.
And when you really put the pieces of Kurt Warner together, obviously you think about St. Louis, but he was in New York before he was shipped to Arizona. He was in New York, and I thought his career was over.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wound up in Arizona. And that's a good example of a backup. And I know, you know, people have thrown out Brett Favre, and a couple of people have thrown out Matt Schaub. But, you know, there's a few out there.
Hmm.
There's a couple out there. I think the best one, though, is Kurt Warner,
an
example of a guy who was a backup somewhere and just appeared to just be there and then went to another team and exploded.
Right.
And I don't care. I understand Brett Favre, Falcons, Packers, all of that. I'm just looking at teams that pursued someone's backup quarterback. So, like, I want that guy. Right. I want him here, right, like the Bears did with Mike Glennon.
Yes. How'd that work so far?
Mitch Trubisky started last night.
Yes, he did.
How did that work out for you? Hey, we got VIP weekend passes to Aftershock Festival happening October 21st and 22nd at Discovery Park. You can get info on KHDK.com, and you can get these weekend passes right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get you all set up with these coming up in about 12 minutes or so. Jay Ross and I will have one small thought on the entire NFC, every single team in the National Football Conference. Jay Ross and I will talk about also in the 1 o'clock hour, there is a hell of a 13-minute piece on the Uninterrupted, which is LeBron's player-led website platform there on Josh Gordon. And I had read an article on it, and I thought I'm going to spend a few minutes watching this, and I got locked into it. It's really, really good. We'll spend a few minutes talking about that. We'll address the latest stuff out of the NFL, Jerry Jones, Mike Ditka, Roger Goodell. A lot of people made asses of themselves today, but not necessarily Goodell. We'll tell you what he said. Mike Ditka continues to be an ass. Jerry Jones, he's the king of the asses. Hmm. We'll have that all for you coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We were talking about the Kings losing to the Blazers last night. If you're just tuning in, nothing to see here, folks. All of your favorites didn't play last night if you didn't pay real attention. But you mentioned you had talked to Dave Yeager. Dave Yeager had stated, I have a good idea of where I'm going in terms of opening day. And one thing that we know is Cleveland, they know where they're going opening day. Their starting lineup has been set, and there's a few changes to it. Dwayne Wade is going to start.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a legitimate question heading in as to what Dwayne Wade's exact role would be on the team. I don't imagine he's playing 35 minutes a game. At least I hope he's not. I don't even think he's playing 30 minutes a game. But he's going to start instead of J.R. Smith, and Jay Crowder is going to start. So you have those two going along with Derrick Rose, who will be at number one, I assume, until Isaiah Thomas is ready to come back and play. And then, of course, LeBron James and Kevin Love. So that means Tristan Thompson is also out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well Tristan Thompson is going to handle that. And then combine that with the alleged Kardashian curse. Like, if I'm Cleveland, I start. Hey, anybody need a guy who can rebound? Anybody?
Yeah, but I think they need him to rebound.
Jay Crowder's there.
Yeah, I mean, Love is the best rebounder of the starters.
Sure.
Now. And then Tristan Thompson, I think.
No,
I mean, Jay Crowder, LeBron might be actually, too. I mean, LeBron's right. Bigger than almost all of those guys. I don't know. I guess you always explore. You look, but you would lean towards looking at moving him first and foremost?
I'd consider it. I don't.
That contract is going to be tough to move.
Yes. It is, and the team that he makes the most sense for is the one that they just did the Kyrie Irving right. deal with. But, look, Tristan can be very valuable, and I think Tristan Thompson is a big reason that the Cleveland Cavaliers had such a relatively easy time with the Celtics in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was because of the way he played. But when you have a coach who can essentially outsmart him, which is what Steve Kerr did in the finals, rendering him virtually useless, I just don't know that he's going to go quietly over to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's completely inaccurate. Maybe he will go quietly over to the bench. But I don't – sometimes guys, when they're taking out of the starting lineup, when they're used to being starters,
yeah.
they can check out.
And one I would have thought might have done that would have been J.R. Smith, but apparently so far he hasn't.
And J.R. strikes me more – I mean, J.R. had played for the Knicks in some pretty rocky times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think J.R. Smith is still going to play a ton of basketball. And I know we had this. I think we talked about this yesterday. Don't worry so much about the top five. Start thinking about the top seven or the top eight. J.R. Smith is going to be, in all likelihood, the top six or the top seven at the latest. And he's going to play a lot, and there's probably going to be a lot of nights where he's playing there in those final minutes,
yeah.
whether it's for it sounds funny now, but J.R. Smith can play defense when he's told to. Like, we need you got 60 seconds. All we need you to do is this. J.R. Smith is fully capable of doing it. And Dwayne Wade is, too. But you know, there could be times that you go smaller and you have both of those guys in at the same time. But J.R. Smith is still going to get a lot of run because you don't want to run Dwayne Wade a lot.
Yeah, I think about the potential. Again, we talk about the Warriors' depth, but I like their depth in Cleveland because let's put Isaiah Thomas back there now whenever he's healthy. Your second unit could be Rose, J.R. Smith, Korver, Jeff Green, Tristan Thompson. I mean, that's pretty strong. Channing Frye, Shumpert. I mean, they've got a lot of players. That roster is really deep.
It is. I like them.
I do too.
Yeah, I know you were when we started talking about the once all of these moves were done and it felt like they were never done. They just wrapped up, I think, 3 days ago. But when we looked at the landscape of this Cleveland team, we both really liked it. And you were the first one to jump on it and go, yeah, this team could potentially compete with Golden State. You really liked them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think you liked them a little bit more than I did. And you didn't think that finals was necessarily lopsided. I think they are significantly better this year than they were last year.
I agree. Sad thing is Warriors might be too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where that leaves us in June.
I don't either.
But I think we'll have to see the team that I'm most curious about. I know that Cleveland is sexy because they made the deals and LeBron is there and they'll, you know, three straight finals and six straight finals. It's been for LeBron, I think, or seven straight finals. And obviously Boston with Kyrie and all of the moves and Gordon Hayward, everything that they've done. Washington didn't do anything. I am wondering what that means. Like, okay, that's not fair. They did do something in that they retained their players, and we both agree that that was very valuable. Last year, if you recall, Christmas time, we were having a conversation. It's like, why is Scotty Brooks, why is his crew playing like this? This is not what we expected from Washington. This is not what we expected from Scotty Brooks. And then they got rolling.
Yep.
And I'm wondering now that feeling out period is over, if they just come out and have a more complete season. And if we look at – and just that alone makes them better than they were last year.
Yeah, just continuity, same coach, most of the same faces back. That's got to help them. But the top of that East, too, I know we always kind of rip the Eastern Conference, but between what the Cavs have, Boston – them in the mix too. Toronto's always good. I mean, that's good. There's the top part's pretty good.
Rondo's out 4 to 6 weeks. Sports hernia surgery. Chris Paul didn't play last night. James Harden dropped 36.
I think they hit 22 more threes. That team just launches him.
I think he just dropped 26 just to prove that he could do it.
Yeah.
I'm revisiting my position on Houston. We'll talk about that as we kick off hour number two of the Lowdown next.